the key takeaway from that and the direction given to the negotiating committee is that the board would entertain such a deal if it provided meaningful Section 6 permanent gains as part of it. Some of the failings of the company might have been excused a year, year and a half after a merger, failure to implement 2 years or so. But 7 years later, it all exists and it hasn't gotten better. And so our members are tired of it and the board is tired of it.
This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman back with another edition of 5x5. APA President Captain Eric Ferguson and Captain John Owens, the Deputy Chair of the Communications Committee, are here to discuss the board's decision to reject LOA 2021-06 earlier this week. What led to that decision, the membership's response to the board's vote, and what to expect in the weeks to come. So with that, let's go.
Captain Ferguson, thank you once again for taking the time. I know it's been a busy few weeks at APA with the fall board meeting, but we appreciate you being here today for a brief 5x5. Obviously, the topic today is the recent 2106 that the company had negotiated with APA regarding a temporary incentive for the holiday flying. Would you mind speaking to the membership about that, sir?
Certainly. Thank you. Glad to have you here again, Captain Owens. Thank you, Mr. Overman, as well. So I'll go back to the beginning, how this evolved, and tell you where we wound up and why I agree with the board's decision as well. But back Thursday a week ago, and that would have been on the 4th, company approached APA and asked if it would be interested in, or actually, company approached APA and offered an incentive program, they call it, an incentive program. And they told our negotiating committee that we have something we'd like to outline for you. It's not subject to negotiation, but it is something we would like to offer. The negotiating committee, the board was in session at the fall board meeting. First week, we did it over 2 weeks this year, but the fall board meeting for 2021, they were in session. And so after receiving a briefing around noon-ish, the negotiating committee came back and gave a closed session briefing about the outline or the contours of this deal to the board of directors. Nobody was terribly impressed. And I will tell you the key takeaway from that and the direction given to the negotiating committee is that the board would entertain such a deal if it provided meaningful Section 6 permanent gains as part of it. Because the overarching goal of the association has been, as of late, to achieve a new collective bargaining agreement. We have been in past amendable dates. Sorry, the amendable date was January 1, 2020. We started bargaining under the early opener provision back in January, towards the end of January of 2019. So we've been bargaining for nearly 3 years and have little to show for it. Now, everybody accepts the fact that for the majority of that time, we've been in the midst of a pandemic. But nonetheless, when times were good, we didn't make very much headway. The company didn't seem interested in bargaining with the association and offered, if everyone recalls, I believe it was in August of 19, Mr. Parker offered a comprehensive proposal, which was some 3 pages of bullet points. It was anything but a comprehensive proposal to the association, and didn't really move from there, didn't express interest or dedicate any energy to meeting the concerns that the negotiating committee had expressed to the company. They just didn't seem terribly interested in anything that we had to say and more interested in what the company had to offer. Again, along comes COVID in March of 2020. Things are legitimately paused for some time while the PSP, I mean, they were still ongoing, but you really couldn't talk economics when the government is paying our wages and protecting the existing collective bargaining agreement. And again, thank God for that, right? So we're talking today on what we hope is the backside of the pandemic. We're talking about making positive gains, and because the collective bargaining agreements were protected by law during the worst of times. So we're picking things back up, and we've recalibrated by way of a targeted approach that the negotiating committee has been very clear to communicate that the board of directors agreed would be a better path at this point. And so we have then put before the company a list of targeted items. And then we waited. We waited for 4.5 months, couldn't get a response from the company related to costing or anything there. Essentially no real progress when progress should have been easy on a somewhat limited list the targeted approach, we'll call it, of things that we believe matter deeply to our pilots. These are quality of working life issues, and it does include pay, and it does include other benefits, particularly the LTD. These are part of our proposals, as everybody knows. So all these are in a package, but it was a targeted approach. It shouldn't be that hard. And like APA, the company's still been dealing with crises after crises, the mandate and such, since back in the summer when we gave them the full proposal, but still not an excuse. We have a joint obligation to at all times make and maintain agreements. It's not one or the other. It's not binary. APA has the bandwidth to do both. I've long complained that the company says it doesn't have the bandwidth to do both, despite the fact that make and maintain agreements, that's RLA first. That's a statutory obligation. So I'm sorry if you don't think you have the bandwidth to make it happen. That's not an excuse that I'm willing to accept, nor is the board of directors. The company still couldn't provide any answers, but it did have the time to come up with this novel incentive holiday, what do they call it? Peak period flying LOA, and offer to the association on a unilateral basis. Again, the negotiating committee brought that in front of the board. The board said, again, from what we knew, it wasn't in any sort of language, and said that the board said that looks okay, but it's got to have permanent gains. So the negotiating committee took that back to the company and said, okay, we can start talking on this, but we've got to have some permanent Section 6 things. The company said, we're not doing that. This is just an offer. It's designed to benefit the pilots. The pilots are by far going to take the largest sum of cash away from this deal. Even if it's not 300% like the flight attendants, it's still more costly for the pilots here. But again, it was conveyed to the company that that won't do it. We have to have permanent Section 6 gains as part of this.
And as you said, you know, Captain Ferguson, let us not forget, I mean, it was January 30, 2015, 7 years ago, that the JCBA was put in place. And you know, there's still a lot of things there that haven't been implemented.
Okay, so that's a great point. And that's all going to play out here over the next week leading up till Tuesday when the board took a vote and rejected the deal unanimously. So that plays into it. That's one of the, I think, one of the key factors that the company might not have properly accounted for. You're right. At January 30, 2015, just over a year after the merger that the JCBA was inked, the JCBA had language in it, I guess because it was the first post-bankruptcy deal, that had implementation timeline as early as practicable for basically everything. So I was on the board here at the time of the ratification of the JCBA, and I was on the board as Phoenix vice chair a couple years later when it seemed the company was not eager to implement things that mattered to our pilots. And we took that to arbitration, something called joint implementation team. And we took the meaning of earliest practicable in this sense before an arbitrator. And the arbitrator basically came back and said, earliest practicable means basically whenever the company gets around to it. We've been deprived the benefit of the bargain. We made a deal, we bought and paid for it by way of the JCBA. And yet the company has yet to pay up and hasn't shown energy, much energy in paying up those items that would benefit us to this point. And so 7 years later, nearly, the board, the members, we've all had enough. So seeing this opportunity, seeing a real need from the company, obviously it has a need to bargain with the association to help make up for its failings to properly manage an airline or overpromise to our customers and regularly underdeliver. We've seen failing after failing as of late, and we cannot seem to get off of, I always say, number last or number next to last on basically every metric, every survey that exists. So again, I've said it, some of the failings of the company might have been excused a year, year and a half after a merger, failure to implement 2 years or so. But 7 years later, it all exists and it hasn't gotten better. And so our members are tired of it and the board is tired of it. So now along comes what the company suspects to be a manning crisis, because it is overscheduled, overpromised, and doesn't want to underdeliver again, and expects us to take its deal unilaterally and ignore the fact that it hasn't implemented the old agreement and ignore the fact that it just says we're not going to mix anything in here related to Section 6. No matter how much it matters to you, no matter that we haven't replied thus far in 4.5 months after receiving your full limited targeted approach ask, they're there, but we've got time to create this piece. And so I get the frustration, but I want to walk you through kind of what transpired over the weekend and give our negotiating committee high praise and credit for its work through the weekend and for moving the company some ways, but it wasn't nearly far enough.
I'm going to pile on here a bit. I think everything you said was spot on. And I know that we all know that times have been tough during the COVID period here, and it's been tough on the industry. But, you know, January 30th on, for those few years, some of the most wildly profitable times in the history of our industry. And during that time, when the company was doing extremely well and we were helping them do that, they couldn't find the time to get those things fixed for us. And I think that weighs heavily on many of our members.
Absolutely, John. That's just the truth. It's just amplifying the truth. It needs virtually no amplification at all for our members now. These things have become obvious. It's become obvious for prospective employees that are looking at the myriad carriers that are hiring and saying, maybe I don't want to go to American right now. They clearly do not have their act together. They clearly cannot get off the bottom of the performance barrel. So anyway, I think your point is very well taken when you say the reminder of just how profitable the airline was right up to the COVID crisis. Again, unprecedented like it has been, but we have survived through the pandemic. Again, still ongoing pandemic, but air traffic is recovering. Yields are recovering. At least our industry that was so devastated for a long time is coming back, and it looks to recover almost no matter where the pandemic goes at this point. You know, we look forward to making a deal that fixes the things that we perceive to be broken, which weren't found necessarily at all on that company's comprehensive proposal before the pandemic. It was just ignored. So we're not ignoring our members. The board's not ignoring their members. We've heard you loud and clear. So just to walk through the weekend at that point and what took place, a lot of coordination between national officers and the negotiating committee, quite a few conversations with mid-senior to senior management about why it should consider including permanent Section 6 gains in any deal, because frankly, it would not pass. This agreement with offering a 50% or in some cases 100% premium over the holidays for 19 specific days and positive space travel and a handful of things, even that would not clear the hurdle, would not cross the finish line if it didn't include permanent gains. And so I conveyed this as clearly as possible. I was told that the company was not interested in doing that because it had other work groups to bargain with, which I can appreciate. I'm sensitive to that. I care about our other work groups as well. But we are our own craft and class. We have our own contract. And each set of facts turns on its own. Each case turns on its own merits, right? And so to say that we told the flight attendants, told the APFA, for instance, that they could have this deal, but it couldn't come with any Section 6 or permanent, because they're bargaining too over Section 6, that it couldn't come with anything related to Section 6, and then turn around and tell the pilot group, well, we told our flight attendants that they couldn't have any Section 6 gains, and therefore you can't. It's just arbitrary. Who says? We'd all be on the same contract if that were the case, but we're not. And that is one of my complaints about American Airlines, is it tries too often to put everybody in the same bucket. We're a different craft and class for a reason. We have different job requirements and demands, and that's just all there is to it. And whether the company wants to be lazy about that and just say, oh, here's our one size fits all fix and just deal with it, I don't accept that. The board doesn't accept that. And just because you told the other work groups that also made deals and good on them, no complaint there at all. That's great. I'm always glad to see positive progress for all of our work groups. Great. That's good news, but it didn't work for us. And just saying that arbitrarily. So on that backdrop, we moved the company along and we came up with several agreements in principle for Section 6 items, but they would not be payable until ratification. And these are mutually beneficial things. They were high, let's just say low cost, high value, meaningful things for our pilots, but it wouldn't be payable until after the ratification of a new agreement. That doesn't do the trick for us. We ratified an agreement almost 7 years ago. We haven't got the benefit of that bargain. So to tell us that, okay, we'll agree to this, this, and this, but it's got to go in your Section 6 bucket. I told everybody I talked to on the company side and in coordination with the negotiating committee that wasn't going to get it across the finish line. It's got to be real, it's got to be concrete, it's got to be meaningful, and it's got to be as close to now as you can make it happen. Give us a date certain. Let us know that something's going to happen sooner than later that our pilots can see that will improve their lives. Then we can talk about the incentive program. But until that happens, I don't see that it's going to pass. But there was enough value here that the negotiating committee, after, again, working all week, the negotiating department, Tim Hamill, Mark Myers, Greg Shaman, everybody on the team did a great job getting as far as they could go, but they can't make the company go where it won't. But they were obligated to bring and present that to the board, which they did. And the board did what I predicted it would and agreed that it should have done. And based on the tremendous amount of feedback we've received, John, what would you say? I mean, you're on our comm committee. You do see the sound offs. What's your take on the response of our pilots to the rejection of this proposal?
I would, without reservation, say, and I think Mr. Overman would be willing to back me up on this. Over the past 3 years of reading these every single day, okay, and sometimes there's more than others. Obviously, when things are tough, but to have over 200 in the past 2 days, and with 95% of overwhelmingly positive, unique responses from our pilot group, it was really a breath of fresh air. They have told us that they appreciate and support what we've done, and I got to tell you, it makes me feel good, and I know it makes the board members who are reading it feel good as well.
John, so I'm going to agree with you. The sound offs, the emails we have received in response to the board's decision here, with 95%+, maybe higher than that, support the board's decisions for all the right reasons. And they're not form letters. They're not cut and paste. They are heartfelt, sometimes three sentences, sometimes five paragraphs that all say the same thing. This was the right decision given our circumstances. And so, again, something somebody said to me the other day was, you know, this deal wasn't shot down over a weekend. It was shot down over 7 years. And that's a good point. So anyway, I thought it was some really good input. We try to keep up with all the sound offs and all the input. That's one of the main tools we get. But this and the board is pleased to see that the members so strongly agree. So it has given rise to a clear solidarity among the board on this issue, and I think the membership as well.
I agree. And the feel-good thing here is this, is that we hear, you know, often here is normal. We hear what we're not doing so well or what we're not doing right or what people might not like. But the membership has spoken, and it said that it is, in fact, in favor of the way APA is representing him at this point. And they are engaged. And That is a very important thing for us, sir.
That's one of the most critical things for success in the long run. An educated, united pilot group. That's how you get there in the long run. So let me talk for a moment about what this isn't, because I've seen some chatter on the line and other in other spaces as well that seem to think that the 20-0 vote rejecting this AIP is some code for a job action. Nothing could be further from the truth. That's not part of the discussion. We have to be careful. We have to be mindful. We have to do our jobs the professional way we have always done it. This is not a signal to do anything different. It is a signal to stay tuned, pay attention, listen to your association, stay informed, stay unified to get a deal that is implementable. And again, fool me once, we're not going to have a new agreement that just has earliest practicable language in that. There's not a chance. The new agreement, when it happens, which I think is probably not that far into the future, given everything that the company actually needs, that it should have done as part of this package, but it was unwilling to do. Given all those things, the company is eager and knows it must get a deal. It seems suddenly more motivated than it has been in the past. That's good. So in the meantime, take this as a signal to read your domicile updates, read your national officer updates, listen to the 5x5s, everything we put out, stay informed, and give the feedback to the leadership so we know what the will of the members are. So we can bring a deal, so the negotiating committee can negotiate, bring to the board a deal that will be ratified at the board level, approved for membership ratification at the board level, and overwhelmingly ratified by the membership. That's what we're looking for. So to get there, this is not just the start, but this is a clear sign of that. It's not a signal to do anything but be the professionals you have been. It's not a signal to slow down or stay out of anything. Do things the way you have done them. Take care of each other. Take care of your crew. Take care of your passengers. And we'll get through this challenging time, through to the other side, and to an industry-leading contract.
All right, gentlemen, as usual, an excellent discussion. Thank you for your time. And for those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. Until next time.